Today, Leslie and I are here to chat a little bit about pandemic and the lessons we learned from the pandemic, and particularly our mental health. So, hi, Leslie.
Oh my gosh, part of me doesn't want to think about the pandemic, but reflective practice is so core to who we are and how we live our lives, and encouraging other folks to do that is really important to us. So we'll role model it, even though it feels kind of hard sometimes to think back to those challenging times.
Oh, I totally agree with you, and I am not one to have regrets. I often look back, but not with regretful eyes. But maybe today some things will come up that I'll think about that I need to, I would do differently if I had a chance. So I think part of the reason I wanted to chat with you, Leslie, around lessons learned from the pandemic is that ostensibly we are out of the pandemic, and I hear lots of people say, oh, that was the past. And now I'm hearing in my clients and friends and people around me voices feeling like they need to return back to normal because the pandemic has passed. I think the two of us have an interesting take on what is normal and what that return to normal kind of journey would look like. So I wanted to, like, I don't know, explore with you about what that actually means, or if it really even does happen. So that's what I was
I'm
hoping you
looking,
want to go with me.
yeah, and I'm looking forward to hearing, some fresh new take. I think we chat about things when we have coffee and when we're working together and we're driving places. But this is a great moment to sort of synthesize that all for ourselves and kind of crystallize some of the connections between like what we value, who we see ourselves to be, what got revealed during the pandemic. Now that it's ostensibly over, what didn't, what's still the same, what's different? I think about that a lot.
Right.
And I'm excited to talk. I know you were thinking like, hey, can we talk about it from our own experience, like personally, and then maybe think about it through the lens of the kids or our family,
Yes.
and
Yeah.
then sort of reflect on our clients. And I have to be honest that I think I'll be best if we talk about it from the kids, the families, the clients, and then our personal experience, because I definitely don't,
Yes.
I'm not quite as easily in touch with that so quickly. I
And
need to warm
that's
up to it.
well, I knew that going in, because we all need a little warm up and like to start from the macro and then come inward. So absolutely happy to do that with you. And for me, I like to do it from the other way. So I have been trying to, as I've been thinking about getting to talk to you about this, trying to picture and remember the pandemic, the experience of it, and feeling, and trying to get back in touch with those feelings. So we'll try to bring those things. Okay.
Wonderful.
So when we think about, I think it would be helpful if each of us, both of us, take just 1 second to think about the experience of the pandemic, either from the ma macro or the micro, the internal, about what stuck out for us for the pandemic in our experience, from our client, family, or personal experience. Like, what pops out for you? And I'll try to do the same. So I'm going to take 1 second.
I love how you
Okay.
make me pause and not talk, but that's part of the strategy here. Pause and think. Don't think and talk at the same time. So I definitely have some core memories that pop up. Like, I
Yes,
think that's a
right?
great springboard. Maybe we could do a couple of core memories each.
Okay. I definitely, core memory for me was being alone in my workspace, the deafening silence. That's a definite core memory. And then the feeling when I had to go out in public, like to go for groceries, or particularly the drugstore, which is really triggering for me to go into, the sense of people wanting to stay away from me and how that impacted the already kind of strange and traumatic feelings I carry day to day about people, me thinking that people don't want to be around me. But so going into the drugstore with the masks and everything, and people not wanting to touch anything or be around, or and not acknowledging, that's a core memory. What about you?
Well, I have one that's like kind of funny, but the truth underneath of it isn't funny, right? As with many things that are challenging. So I remember I was doing physiotherapy at the time for a knee injury, and going to physio was like the only outing that I would have all week. It was the only place to go.
Wow.
And one time I got dressed up and I went to physio, and the physiotherapist asked me where I was going, all dressed up, and I said, I'm coming here. I put on my work clothes, I put on my makeup, I brushed my hair, I wore shoes, like with intention. Where are you going? Nowhere. I'm dressed up to come to physiotherapy because this is the only place I will go all week.
Wow, yeah. Oh my God, remember that?
Right?
Oh,
And the other
okay.
core memory I have is of profound gratitude that the values we picked for how we run our family, like we're a household of five, the values we picked in terms of how our family's organized and what we care about and how we influence the kids and all of that, our values stood the test of time through that. And I was really grateful that we'd put in so much work and intention in our parenting before the pandemic, because it really served. At least as parents, it really served us well. I think the kids would say the same thing, but I'm not sure. Who's to say? We weren't stressed about what matters. We knew what mattered in terms of trying to create a life for the kids at home all the time, with all the chaos of school, with all the ups and downs. We knew what our values were. So I felt a profound sense of gratitude, I think, for having already been parenting from a values-based perspective leading into the pandemic. And I really felt deeply for those families for whom the pandemic was the thing that helped them come to terms with maybe some of their values, or needing to change some of their values or some of their intentions, right? It really That it was hard to go through that and to be changing as a human, sort of your core motivations and your core ways of doing things.
My goodness, yes. I was lucky. I got to witness some of that with your family, and how still deeply tied you were all to each other throughout the pandemic. There was no stories. At no time did you come away with me saying, "Oh my gosh, I can't stand it at my house," or within reason, or "I can't stand being around the people in my family." It was like, we're getting through this together, and I really appreciated that. And so, yeah, it's a testament to having those, instilling those core values in your kids and in your partnership with your partner, and really leaning on them heavily to get through every single day of the lockdown, and then of the interactions with people that we had to have outside of the home.
And navigating the kids, trying to do decisions, make decisions, right? Like safety, health
Safety to,
decisions.
yeah.
Try that. At that time we didn't have three teenagers, but we for sure had one and growing into two. And
Yeah.
they had their own minds and they had their own ways of thinking, and trying to help them figure out, okay, well, there's our values, but then they're learning to grow their values. And truth be told, I think the pandemic has profoundly shaped the values of the kids, either in reaction to what we did, or taking some of the values that were the same.
Right.
and holding those even more dear. But it'd be so interesting to see the generational outcomes that happen, right? Because of
Oh,
everybody having
yeah.
had a version of that collective experience. And I think the other thing was that acute understanding that although we were all in it, we weren't ex all experiencing the same thing, right? So different
Right.
families were
Yeah.
experiencing, right, profoundly different. And coming from a place of privilege that I have, that was really important for me to also be seeing for myself and reminding the kids, like, it's not that it's a suffering competition. It wasn't that. Like, I wasn't trying to minimize the kids' experience because somebody else would have it harder. But just to
Right.
develop that acute understanding, like, yeah, this is something that's happening to everybody, except everybody's experience of it is different.
Yes, absolutely. And I heard varying kinds of experiences from my clients around the pandemic, and particularly my adoption clients who already are struggling with issues of feeling isolated or rejected or just plain not connected, like displaced, to feel that same kind of feeling during the pandemic because we needed to be in lockdown was particularly hard. And that came out in strange and new kinds of inner turmoil and behaviors. And parents struggling with these new behaviors that they're seeing with their kids. And so I really appreciate what you say, Leslie, about recognizing that you had your experience, but there are other people who had differing experiences and acknowledging that and allowing you to have a little bit of grace for possibly another kind of version. There were lots of people who really did struggle way more than I did through the pandemic. I'm one of those people that I was really lucky to have enjoyed pieces of the pandemic. Nobody liked the lockdown. Nobody liked the threat and the feeling of doom that came with not knowing. But once within the lockdown and within the bubble of my safety zone and my family, I actually flourished. And so I want to just talk a little bit about that. Remember, at the top, I mentioned the silence of my office and the deafening of it in a good and bad way. The pandemic forced me to reflect and do self-reflection in a way I had never done in my entire life, and I needed to do that. Even with all the drama of the kids in the house, teenagers not being able to get out of the house, and my partner not knowing how to do work remotely at the time, and trying to figure all that drama kind of faded away in my office, and I say force, but it allowed me to turn inward in a way that was freeing, because I had nothing else to do but to self-reflect, and become more forgiving about my life story than ever before. So that was a major positive for me in amidst all of the negativity, and funny to have the experience of re self-reflection and reflect on my life story, and all the things that happened to me, the good things and the bad things, but to put them in the right context, have that in one pile, in direct contrast to the experience of going out in the world when I had to go, and having the feelings of rejection and otherness amplified by the pandemic at the same time. So holding those two things at the same time, very interesting experience. And in time, having been able to reflect on myself, my own story, Dan's story. It helped me, holding those two truths helped me to put even the things that were tough or traumatic about my life in their proper slot on the bookshelf, right? Because it's like, okay, I can deal with the day-to-day, feeling of yuckiness of being out in the world, which is amplified by my past past traumas or past hurt feelings or losses. Or I can look back at my whole life and realize, oh, actually, I got through all of those things. And the fact that somebody with a grocery cart just looked at me wrong because I touched a can twice is no big deal. And she's not rejecting me. She's just rejecting the situation because she too was scared. Very interesting process for me. And yeah, I just wanted to share that because there were some positives from the pandemic.
I really like you mentioning the piece about learning how to learn or work in that environment, and mentioning that idea that at the beginning, lots of people didn't know and had to figure out how to learn how to work in a
Yes.
new way. And
Yes.
some of my most cherished moments are working with clients, especially kids, where we could, where we really had to radically adapt. And for some kids, the weirdness of the situation and the absurdity of it was actually very liberating, because they weren't trying to learn in an environment that they didn't fit into anyway.
No, yeah.
So I have one core memory of studying for helping a high school student study for a math exam and doing a math review. And he was in the snowbank in a lawn chair. And I with it, and I was sitting in my car with the heat on because it was very
Yeah.
cold, and I was going through like concepts and stuff, like sitting right, like as if the window of the car was like the front of the classroom, going through things. But actually, there he was. There was no pressure for him to have to do anything but listen. He couldn't write anything down. He couldn't even real like with his mitts, what's he gonna do? Hold his book open? Like he can't. The wind's gonna blow it away. And his superpower is listening and talking. And we listened, and he listened, and we talked all the way
Oh.
through the math review. I mean, more than one session like that. And I often reflect, it was as if we had to do that because of the pandemic. But really, what we had to do was create space that he could learn in. Another client who was quite young at the time, we met a couple of times a day online. And the way that that worked best is if the kid set up all the stuffies on the couch, and we
Ooh.
together taught the stuffies concepts.
Right.
And this little one was checking, the kid was probably about 7. Checking in with the stuffies, did they understand, the
Yeah.
measuring task that we were doing, or the, and we were doing all kinds of things that had her up and moving around the house, right, to meet her where she was developmentally. But, again, I never would have thought of that, but that came out of the situation of the kid needing to create an environment in which she could learn. And so it really, I often think how limited we are when we're trying to create environments that we think is go going to work for the most number of people all at the same time. Like, does it really work for anybody? And what if we sort of crowdsourced what other ways we could do it? Like, who wouldn't
Yeah.
want to spend, an hour outside doing something? Or who wouldn't want to, pretend we're
Absolutely.
teaching other people well, when really we're trying to learn something? Those young people going through it and being given the certain kind of freedom that came with the restrictions, came up with really innovative ways for me to help them.
Well, don't you find it so interesting, like that people, when push came to shove, that their creative minds were released by the restriction, right? And who would have known that we would have embraced so many different ways of thinking and feeling, as a and the focus on mental health as a result of pandemic, something so horrible. It's been wonderful to watch that. My mom always says that this phrase needs must, and it's like, yes, people were against the wall trying to figure out how to live their lives, keep the paychecks coming in, still stay sane and normal, and still get on with life. And so just the whole new creation of what life can be, we excelled at that. Everyone did. And whether we wanted to or not. So there's lots of people who were challenged to learn new ways, like all of us learn how to, get around the city somehow without touching anything, how to communicate with each other without being in the same room, how to, support our kids through really what's the most painful socialization period of their lives, not being able to go into school. Some kids really loved it, and some kids really hated it, but it taught us all something about ourselves and our ability to adapt to a major what seemed like a major barrier.
One thing that I see with clients, especially adult clients, so this is me wearing my hat as a facilitator of groups. So getting into an environment where a group needs to complete a task together, as the facilitator, you're there to design the process and help people get from A to B. One of the things I notice is that people are maybe not as resilient now as they were then. Or then they adapted when their backs were against the wall, but actually now it's really hard to keep adapting, even to the basic change, the basic realities of life. So I hear I've been saying this phrase a lot. I hear people say things that sound a lot to me like inside thoughts. Right. So adapting back to that idea of what it means to be socialized around each other, what it means to be, to allow space for one another, what it means, people, the adults, like there's a lot of people who are very sharp or short or impatient or that whatever resilience they had, maybe they used it up.
That's their thinking, right? Yes. I don't think it's necessarily our thinking, but I get what you're saying about they feel like, well, I figured out how to do this and I changed all that, and now you want me to keep doing that, or you keep wanting me to change. Like, no, I feel like I'm all used up. I just want to coast now for the next few months or years, really. I want to go back to the way it was when I felt safer, right? I hear that. Oh, I hear that all the time. And so that's why at the top I mentioned about what normal is, or what we think of as normal, and the acceptance of that phrase, the new normal. Like, now you know that you were resilient when your back was up against the wall. You know that. You have the ability to get yourself out of things. So it doesn't mean that you have to be always on alert, always trying to unpack things, but you do have to always remember you have the skill and capability at your fingertips whenever you need it. That's how I look at it. The challenge for many of our clients, and certainly in the magic I see you do, Leslie, is when you unlock their power of learning and of their own superpower resilience, when you unlock that, then it's so much easier to bring them to the next, issue, problem, challenge, curiosity, and open their mind. And I've seen you do that time and time again. See, you could do you I know you can do these fractions because you just did these ones here. These ones are a little bit different, but let's just work on it together and see what we can come up with. And then magically, the person, the child, the adult, whoever you're working with goes, oh yeah, I can do with this. You know, I can. And that's my work too, in the, you know, with that, with dealing with emotional issues and traumas and just things that are irritating, helping people to understand that they dealt with it before. It was very painful. They survived it. And what can we learn from surviving? And then how can we apply that to the new situation? I love that you get that about this work, Leslie. I love that.
Well, I was thinking about how I've watched you, especially when we've done some group work together, you're to hold space for people to feel like they don't wanna. Like, yeah, that's normal. As opposed to
It is.
catastrophizing that, you know, oh, people don't want to, and then there's gonna be bad, you know, people are gonna act out because they don't want to. Well, what if we just said, we get it, you don't want to. You did great before, it was hard. What a ter you know, there's no solution, or you can't rectify it. There's no resolution. It happened, you got through it. We're here. We're holding space, we're naming it, we're holding space for it. Now that we've done that, can we take a breath and just
Yes.
tippy toe back to the side of resilience and just dip our toe in ever so slightly and see what you've got in the well.
Yes.
Because acknowledgement, I think, is something that has been missing. You know, we're talking about self-reflection, but that acknowledging about what the pain was, the pain of the isolation, the pain of the uncertainty, the pain of the fear, is impacting people's ability now to learn, to regulate, to
Yes.
have that resilience that they need right at their fingertips, and just acknowledging it. I've seen the magic of that, especially in a group setting.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I like when it unfolds in front of us and we can actually see it and name it. Yay. This all leads me to think about the fact that the main lesson I learned from the pandemic is that personally I need to take time for self-reflection, but overall self-reflection is not scary. And this is a lesson I take not only personally, but that I share with everyone. Honestly, that's why you catch me, Leslie, talking with everybody, and I say, okay, let's just take a breath here, or let's all collectively take a moment, because we need to be in touch. I know I definitely need to be more in touch with what's going on internally. And I think the next lesson I learned, but we haven't talked about very much, is that our human connection is more important than we ever imagined. And we all learned that the hard way, unfortunately, through the pandemic. So those are the key nuggets I got really out of the pandemic, you know, in this day and age. What are your key nuggets? Do you have any key? Like, and given that I just had a chance to reflect with you, I'm wondering, you know.
As someone who is very much of a thinker and a doer, there were the isolation of the pandemic was very challenging because I realized I couldn't ultimately carry all my own needs all on my own. So to have, you know, to realize the value of the places out in the world that help me meet my own needs, right? That my value on those things is even higher than it was before, because actually, if left to my own devices, like in the pandemic, I can meet many of my needs, but actually, I can't meet them all.
Very humbling. Wow.
Very.
Oh,
Okay,
wow.
let's wrap with a fun. Can we do a funny
Yes.
memory from the
Yes.
pandemic? Like ridiculous things that we'll tell next generations when we're sitting in our rocking chairs. You know, should we be so lucky to make it that far in life?
Okay, something funny from the pandemic. Oh.
I've got one for you that it's
Oh, good.
you
Okay.
and I.
Okay.
We really want to try and connect in person. And
Yeah.
we made a little office space in my garage with our chairs appropriately distanced apart. And we
Right.
sat in the garage in the pouring rain and the damp. And we were so sure this was better than meeting online. I think we only did it once or twice. Went off real fast. But we were really trying to establish your reconnect, have that in person. I see you, we can
Yes.
adapt sort of feeling, but it don't think
Oh,
lasted very long.
I remember that. And yeah, like we're trying to sit 6 feet apart or whatever. And we had our little drink tray and oh my gosh. But I remember feeling that, damn it, I am getting together with my business partner and we're having a meeting in person and that's it. And how adamant I was about that. And it was worth it, Leslie. It was absolutely worth it because I needed that human connection, that human touch. And I didn't care that it was your garage. I just cared that you were there. Thanks for that good memory. I don't know if I have any funny memories or things around the pandemic. Only other than to say, overall, like I guess because it turns out I am an optimist, even though I believe I'm a pessimist inside, that it good things came from the pandemic in terms of how allowing people to see what's most important to them, including myself. And that's a huge positive, a huge. So I think, yeah, we will wrap up here because the next time I talk with you, I hope that we get to talk about the creative things we did. And we're running out of time today. So let's talk about that in our next chats together, okay?
Thanks for the walk down memory lane. Even though I wasn't sure I wanted to go back there, it turned out to be useful.
Oh, I'm
Thanks so
glad.
much. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.